I am a student.
I am a student.
I am a student.
I am an artist.
I'm an artist.
I'm a leader.
Hi, I'm Maureen McCollum, and welcome to Classroom Frequency, a Wisconsin Life special on WPR. This hour, we're taking you inside the doors of Monona Grove Liberal Arts Charter School, or MG21, to hear the voices of its students.
All right, y'all, take out your journals and do the opener or write about what you want to write about.
I've been working with these high school students throughout the year, teaching them how to create radio. They learned how to interview people, how to edit audio, how to hold a microphone.
Ooh, this is weird because you can hear yourself talk, but then you can also...
Yeah, so point it at yourself as you're talking.
Hi.
The stories you'll hear throughout the hour are the stories these students chose to tell. And here to help me introduce the students and their stories is MG21 teacher Ian Lowe. Ian, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Ian, can you tell people a bit about MG21?
MG21 is a small public charter school in the Monona Grove School District. We serve 50 students.
And why does a school like MG21 exist?
So I think it starts with the community and parents and students recognizing a need. There are students for whom a traditional learning environment might not work. So students might feel lost in the shuffle. They might feel invisible at a big traditional high school. So going to a smaller environment where there's only 45 students and they really get to know their teachers over time. So if they start with us from ninth grade moving into 12th, we're able to get to know them and really see that growth. So there's a sense of feeling connected to a community. And for others, it might be because of the way our curriculum is structured. We don't do a lot of testing. It's more project-based, where students have control over what they're going to learn, how they're going to go about learning that, and then how they're going to show their learning. And so for many students who are passionate about certain things, a project-based model works really well.
Okay. So that brings us to our first student story. It's about a very special pair of classmates at MG21. One is a junior.
I'm Tierra Byrne, and this is Lou... Or Nibbler is his nickname.
Lou is a rabbit.
He's black and he looks like he's brown in the sunlight, and he has little white hairs throughout his body. He's really, really, really soft. Like, really soft.
Sometimes Lou comes to school with Tierra. On the days the rabbit is in the classroom with her, Tierra is beaming. The self-described big-time animal lover proudly carries Lou around in a small black and brown carrier filled with hay. One afternoon, Tierra and I hung out in the school library with Lou, where she quietly told me more about her beloved pet and classmate.
What are you feeding him?
Just an apple and some carrots.
Why do you like to bring him to school? Like, what days do you decide you want to bring him?
Mostly if I'm having, like, a bad day, I'll bring him just because he kind of just calms me down and he's goofy, so he kind of makes me laugh a lot.
Tierra and Lou mean a lot to one another. She recently wrote this essay about her favorite classmate of all time.
I believe that Lou is not only the best pet I've ever had, but also the best classmate I've ever had. Some people just assume having a rabbit is easy work and that they just sit around being cute, which they do, but rabbits are also very smart, social, and affectionate. They can also be very bratty, willful, and destructive. I think it takes a special kind of person to be able to handle all of those traits at once. I'm someone who is very good with a rabbit like Lou because I'm not short on love or patience. I have plenty to share. Before I had Lou come to school with me, I didn't really feel like I brought much to my school, and I couldn't figure out what I could do to change that. The first time I brought him to school was during our animal study tour. He was being very good, and the teachers loved him and asked me if I wanted to bring him in more often. When I started bringing him in, I noticed some changes in myself and in my behavior because of Lou, and so did my teachers. I was a lot more calm and could focus on my schoolwork better just by having him around. I was making new friends through Lou because he is a great conversation starter. I get a lot of questions about him and why he's in school with me. Everyone loves him and wants to pet him and hold him. Lou became somewhat of a celebrity around my school. This year I learned that Lou is a trendsetter because many others see the joys of pets in bringing their own pet to school. In fact, now we have Pet Fridays where teachers encourage many students to bring pets to school. It's really nice having animals in school because it makes the learning environment more interesting and exciting. Before coming to MG21, I imagined the only classmates I'd ever have were human ones. However, the day I decided to bring Lou into school, I learned and have since taught others that sometimes pets can be the best classmates we can ask for.
That essay was by Tierra Bird, a junior at Monona Grove Liberal Arts Charter School. She wrote about her favorite classmate, Lou the Rabbit. Oh, and Tierra's favorite thing that Lou does, besides looking super cute, he has a particular move that gets her every time.
They're called binkies when he, like, jumps up in the air and twists his back legs. And he does that only when he's extremely happy. So I know he's happy.
That's so cute.
Yeah, it's really cute.
This is Wisconsin Life's Classroom Frequency on WPR. We're hearing the stories of MG21 high school students. These are the stories they wanted to tell. I'm MG21 teacher Ian Lowe.
And I'm Wisconsin Life host Maureen McCollum. Ian, it goes without saying that every student is different. Some love interviewing their classmates and teachers. Then there are others who are a little less interested in having their voices on the air.
Yeah, this next piece comes from Calvin Renard. He's an incredibly talented artist, but didn't want to talk on the radio. So I recorded him doing the things he loves to do at school. Play basketball, create metalwork, draw, and spray paint.
Let's take a listen to A Day in the Life of Calvin. Those were the sounds of A Day in the Life of Calvin Renard, a junior at MG21. Our next story comes from an MG21 student who really wanted to talk about school.
My name is Dante Murray. I'm 17 years old, and I'm a junior at MG21.
Before coming to MG21, Dante struggled at the traditional public school.
I didn't really find point in doing a lot of the stuff that they were assigning in. Science and math aren't really my thing. I'm more into history and writing. You know, at the main high school, I didn't really get the help I needed.
He came to MG21 starting his sophomore year.
Where at MG21, I feel like I'm getting the help I need with the things I struggle with. I really like that I'm allowed to express myself more, and rather it be a writing piece, a research piece, or anything in between, I find meaning in it now.
So for his radio story, Dante wanted to explore how small public charter schools differ from traditional public schools. Now, we're not here to argue for or against the benefits of traditional and non-traditional schools. Every student thrives in different environments. This is just one student's experience.
So Dante interviewed Jess Frayne, a Monona Grove School District social worker, and they talked about school systems. Here's part of that conversation.
What would you say are some of the main flaws of a traditional schooling system?
So to start, as like somebody who works in both a traditional setting and a charter setting, so an alternative project-based setting, I can see more and more flaws in the traditional setting the longer that I've done this dual role staff-wise. And then for the students, I mean, gosh, I could go on and on, but I think that the traditional school, to keep it like short and sweet, the word tradition is key here. It is made for a time period that we are not in anymore. And so we're teaching children how to live in a world that's no longer waiting for them at the end of school, if that makes sense.
What do you think some of the main benefits of a school like MG21 are?
I just recently heard this quote at a conference. In the charter school world, we like to protect the unicorn and not cut off its horn. And I love that so much because that's exactly what I see this school do. We celebrate people's individuality and we encourage it. Like, not just point it out, but it's like, okay, that's who you are. Those are your strengths. Let's use that and move forward. Instead of cutting the horn off and trying to fit you in a box that's never going to be you. And then you're in a constant battle trying to figure out, like, why am I not good enough for this? What's wrong with me? when no, nothing's wrong with you. Like, everything's perfect. And then lastly, I think this charter school, a school like MG21, it actually builds intrinsic motivation. Students that thrive in a traditional setting, they are oftentimes the students that want to, you know, attain those high grades, kind of those extrinsic things like, oh, I'm on the honor roll, I get a scholarship, I get XYZ. Well, in a school like this, like the rest of that population, you know, they're not going to get to that point. You lose your motivation then. And at a school like this, you actually engage in the curriculum. You know, if you're a great artist, that's going nowhere in geometry class over at the other high school. If you're a great artist here, then let's work with that in geometry. Let's make something happen here. And oftentimes, like, students who are here have had pretty poor experiences with education in the past. So to see that switch happen, that is, like, I think that's also a big piece of what I love about schools like MG21.
That was MG21 junior Dante Murray interviewing social worker Jess Frayne. I talked with Dante after his interview. How did you feel after doing the interview?
Relieved that, I don't know, an adult, I guess a teacher, shared the exact same opinions on the schooling system that I did.
Mm-hmm. So validated.
Yep.
So why was it for this project you decided to do the story on the differences between the public and the charter school?
Because I feel like normal schools, traditional schools are kind of old-fashioned, I guess. It's just something I'm really passionate about in general, is this fairness and the relationship between teacher and student and the work that's done at schools. I feel they aren't really training people to be their best or putting them up to their fullest potential.
Do you feel like there are misconceptions with charter schools?
Definitely. I know a lot of misconceptions that I've heard is that my school in particular is for special needs kids, which isn't true. And I feel like that is kind of a stigma, or also that, like, they're for violent kids that, you know, are troublesome, which is also not true.
So for people who don't know your classmates, what are the students at MG21 like?
They're unique. They're themselves, and they're not afraid to be themselves. You know, they're not afraid to stand out in a crowd and be someone that they truly want to be. They don't try and fit themselves in little boxes or stress out over little stupid things. They're just themselves.
Students on the Love of History, Music, and Poetry. That's coming up after the quick break. You're listening to Classroom Frequency, WPR's Wisconsin Life special featuring students from MG21. You can hear all the students' stories and more online at wisconsinlife.org. I'm MG21 teacher Ian Lowe.
And I'm Wisconsin Life host Maureen McCollum. We'll go out with a song from MG21 student Circe Johnson.
So just give me love, and if I could erase all the traces left on the ring of my name, I could look at my face and like what I see, cause it's drowning me, and I wish I could be what you want me to be.
I love creativity.
I love adventure.
I love life.
I love music.
I love being outdoors.
I love military and political history, and also my cats and my family.
I fear darkness and being alone.
I fear loss.
I fear loss.
I fear public speaking and large crowds.
My fear is water.
I fear the unknown.
Welcome back to Classroom Frequency, a Wisconsin Life special on WPR. It's an hour of stories from high school students at Monona Grove Liberal Arts Charter School, or MG21. You're listening to the stories they wanted to tell. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And I'm MG21 teacher Ian Lowe. Later, we'll be hearing stories about family, but first, let's hear what students are passionate about.
Yeah, what are the youth into these days? All right, Ian, two of the students that we worked with in the MG21 radio class this year are super into music. They're musicians that are so similar, yet so different.
Matt Schlafer and Simon Terrell Collins are both incredibly talented musicians, but Matt leans more towards classic rock with a modern vibe, and Simon is more into rap and hip-hop. Matt is very open with his music, and Simon keeps his music more personal and is more reserved.
The two of them sat down to talk with one another about their musical inspirations and their process. Here's part of that conversation.
Hi, I'm Matthew Schlafer. I am a singer-songwriter. I play the guitar, the mandolin, the saxophone, a little bit of piano.
I'm Simon Sarah Collins. I don't play any instruments, but I do write my own songs and rap and sing a bit, and I engineer, so yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Matt, can you explain your creative process?
Well, okay, so my creative process is kind of like multiple things. It's like I start off with like a little like snippet, like a little either a phrase or a lick of music.
Story begins when I'm walking down the street, yeah, I saw you and you.
Most of the time it's like a chorus part where it's just kind of like a lead vocal with some rhythm guitar. And then what I'll do is I'll add more of a verse or a different chord structure to go along with it. And then I'll start like producing it on my computer and like layering tracks and such. And I can get a pretty good sounding result from that. What about you, Simon?
Yeah, I found a lot of similarities between our creative process. If we're talking about writing, I take phrases from like what my friends will say or something I'll just think of, and then that'll usually stem into a whole song, and then I will sit and listen to a beat for like a long time before I actually get on it, because I want to like practice my verse over it, and if I feel like I'm ready to record, then I'll just try to get on the mic and just do my best.
Jump when my phone beep, hair flooded and it's so deep.
I write in a bathtub. It feels like a just the kind of ambience that comes from like the water dripping. I write so well when it's raining outside, so like it was pouring rain and I wanted to write so bad, but I had to go to work, so I was just like typing in my like phone as fast as I could, like, ah, I got ideas that are coming out. So it's like it actually depends on like where I am and how I'm feeling.
I'm just running from my vices like they were active shooters, my TV static moving.
What kind of energy do you put into your music?
It's a good question. Actually, my energy is very upbeat, very upbeat. Like, you know how like you have folk songs that people hopscotch, look and dance around it, and they just like swing and dance, like square dancing? Yeah. It kind of has that vibe. I don't know. How about you? What about your energy?
It really depends on the song, because my music ranges from incredibly aggressive energy to like very, very calm, like soothing energy. So if you don't have your own sound, then people won't want to listen to you really, if there isn't one thing that makes you stand out. So for some people, it's the voice. Others, it's like their production.
My obsession has no rebuttal, so I just panic about my weekly checks. Probably doesn't help my weakening head. Getting better is unlikely, like a blood clot move.
So what would you say makes your music different than others? Like the big shots out there. What makes you different?
I think my versatility and the type of writing that I do. So what people will often tell me about my music is that my writing is very, like, they can always tell that it's my writing because of the way I put things into words. So I've had lots of people tell me, like, they could just look at my lyrics and know they're mine by the way I talk about things and, like, the weird rhyme schemes that I use and just how I put things together. So I think that's something. And when it comes to versatility, there's so many different styles that I like to try. Alternative, you know, just normal rap, just different styles that I love experimenting with. And that's what I think is great about music, is that there's so many different styles that you can try And I'm not successful at all of them, but I do like to try. But more dead, but my rap in your head like bayonet. Bang, y'all dead, I stay your mess. But even when I'm taking 10, I never stray from pen. What about you?
Well, I'm not sure what entirely makes me different from everybody else. I mean, I do like things that are kind of like catchy, poppy, snappy. But I do like things that are like kind of dark and lonesome. I like to have a good balance between that. Like something that's very meaningful and emotional, but yet like grabs the listener by like the ears and just like tugs on him and then like puts him in to the speaker and lets him listen, you know? Like I like to be colorful with my lyrics, but like not too colorful that it's like hard to like understand. I also like to keep my lyrics. Sometimes I want to start to write things that are more nonsensical and like old timey, like
I feel that,
like how the Beatles, they used to have like songs that didn't make any sense. Like the one that comes to mind is the song "Come Together." Yeah, that's basically how I write. Just right. I can't stand these city lights, so yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice talking to you, Simon. This was really awesome.
Yeah, you too.
Good being here.
Yeah, for sure.
That was Matt Schlafer and Simon Terrell Collins, students and musicians at MG21 High School.
I dream of small fame.
I dream of being happy.
I dream of improvement.
I dream of becoming someone.
I dream of being successful and having a happy family.
I dream of, well, at this point, I dream of graduating high school, which is really scary. Because then I have to move on to the real world.
You're listening to Wisconsin Life's Classroom Frequency on Wisconsin Public Radio. Today, the stories that MG21 high school students wanted to tell. I'm MG21 teacher Ian Lowe.
And I'm Wisconsin Life host Maureen McCollum. Another artist at MG21 is sophomore Coyote Johnson. She does everything. She sings, plays guitar, draws these intricate sketches, and she writes poetry.
Yeah, Maureen, Coyote carries her notebook everywhere. So for this radio project, she wanted to share some of her poems with listeners. So let's hear a few.
This poem is about me being there for myself. I'll keep you safe. I'm here. Got no one to turn to. That's why I gotta learn to rely on myself, take care of my health. I don't need your help, so get out of my way, I'll be okay. I have my own goddamn pepper spray. That smell. This smell brings me back to sleepy mornings in your car with gummy treats you purchased for me from Walmart. It was my reliable breakfast for so long, I took advantage that was wrong. You're worth more than gummy bears and Twizzler hairs and every other gummy breakfast we had in your comfy car chairs. This place is draining. This hair salon makes me want to call my mom. Your crusty walls tell lies of Wi-Fi passwords. Your TV won't stop skipping. Hell, it's cutting faster and faster. Somebody shut it off. This isn't what I thought. Fuzzy balls of black hair fall to the floor and collect near the edges of the room. This place needs a f***ing broom. Should have stayed home, want to be alone forever. At the other place, it was a whole different case. There, they asked me if I wanted something to drink. Here, I don't know what to think. Hairy floor, rusted door, so much more extension cords. Walls that were clearly once white now painted with colors that just might be bodily fluids. It's the kind of place that makes you feel sticky. All I can do is wait 3 hours and leave quickly. Interesting smells send questions through my head that I don't want the answers to. My body is tired, but my mind is racing. Heart is chasing old memories of time in which I was wasting.
Those poems were by Coyote Johnson, a sophomore at MG21 High School. We'll hear some of her music later in the show.
Ian, we've heard from a few MG21 students this hour who are passionate about art, music, and poetry. It's time to meet another student who has a passion that may be unique for someone his age.
Yeah, Harrison is really into political and military history.
So when I first came to MG21, Ian, one of the first things I noticed in your classroom was Harrison's desk. I have never seen another high school student decorate the way he does, and I had to interview him about the militaria he has on display.
So Harrison, I see your desk decor is quite unique. Can you tell me and people on the radio who can't see what you have on your desk?
Yeah, I have a couple of helmets here from the 1920s all the way up to the 1970s. And I kind of got into this because I don't really know.
It just hit you one day.
Yeah, well, kind of, actually. I had a replica helmet. And I'm like, it'd be cool if I had the real thing.
So are there certain helmets that you... Like, are you going for shape? Are you going for history or where they served in a way?
Kind of a combination of the three. Like I said, I really like the shape of this one, which is from the Soviet Union, and they used that for about 3 years before it was phased out.
I know you're really into military history. Is your family, did they serve in the military?
As far as I know, I have three that served in the military. I have one that served in the National Guard in Illinois, one who served in Vietnam, and one who, he was a captain of a supply ship during World War II. I never got to meet him because he died right before I was born, but I am named after him.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah.
When we first started this project, you said you wanted to do, like, an historical essay on early military history. You ended up doing something on World War I and Franz Ferdinand.
So we're going to be talking about the assassination of Franz Ferdinand and why it happened and, well, who was responsible for it. And as a lot of you know, Franz Ferdinand was the heir to the throne of Austria-Hungary, which was, at the time, a kind of...
Why are you so drawn to that era of military history?
Turn of the century, kind of. There's a lot of rapid development, and it's weird to see the evolution of military tactics, and there's a lot of politics tied up into it, too.
So do you want to pursue a career in the military or history?
What's interesting to me right now is there are groups of people who go out to the forest where battles are fought and stuff like that, and they go and they just go with metal detectors and they dig up these old helmets and stuff like that. It's kind of like a really noble thing because some of these people out here aren't scavengers. They're people who go out there and metal detect and they try to find the bodies of soldiers who've been missing to provide some closure for families. And they found this pilot who'd been missing for like 70 years. And since the cockpit hadn't really broken that much, his identity capsule had been preserved and they're able to find, oh, this is the guy we've been looking for. And his, like, personal belongings were still there, and it was an incredible thing to see.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So dream job for you.
Kind of.
That sounds awesome. Well, you've taught me a lot about World War I in this, like, short time I've known you, so I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
After learning about Harrison's love of military history and possible interest in media, we helped connect him with a local veteran.
Yeah, this was Harrison's first time interviewing a veteran in person. He ended up telling me that this was one of the highlights of his high school career.
Which warms my heart so much.
Let's take a listen to part of his conversation with Bob Cook.
It's recorded.
Okay, and so make sure to mic your first question.
Okay. What's your name?
My name's Bob Cook, or Robert is the official.
Would you prefer to be called Robert?
No, I prefer to be called Bob.
So you served in Vietnam. Would you like to say what province or provinces you served in?
I served in 2 Corps in Pleiku and with the 71st Evac Hospital. I was, at that time, I had got a branch transfer from the infantry to the Medical Service Corps. I'm probably here today because that branch transfer went through, because I graduated as an infantry officer. And generally, as an infantry officer, you have to serve 2 years in your branch before they allow you to do a transfer. But at that point in time, I went into graduate school immediately afterwards and had gotten a master's in counseling. And this is 1965, and everybody and their brother was going to Vietnam, no matter what we tried to do to avoid it. So I requested a branch transfer, and I got a branch transfer. I feel very fortunate about that because the kill rate of infantry lieutenants is very high in Vietnam.
You said you had friends in the infantry at the time. Do you know what happened to them, if you would like to speak about that?
That's a good question. One of the friends in, mine in ROTC was killed in Vietnam as a helicopter pilot who went to the same high school I did down in Champaign, Illinois. And I've looked, you know, occasionally you pull out that yearbook you had from summer camp and you look at, and I've wondered how many of these guys actually served in Vietnam and how many survived, and I don't know the answer to that.
What was going home like?
Going home was a mixed bag in some ways. You were anxiously wanting to get out of there and not be killed walking to the plane, which did happen to folks. And there's always the issue of it's kind of like a team and you're leaving the team. And in our case, we weren't killing people, but we were in an organization that was keeping people alive and moving them out. So you had a sense of you doing something valuable.
Is there anything you would like to say as, I guess, we kind of wrap this up?
The guys who served in Vietnam, many folks who went to Vietnam were not believers in the war, but they served honorably there and did their jobs. It was kind of like if you're in the combat zone, there was no politics in the combat zone. I mean, if out in the field there is. I mean, they could argue in the hospital there are politics, and we had doctors arguing whether it was right to treat a Vietnamese or not, one saying they should, one saying not. Out in the field, guys worked together as a team and served in that kind of capacity, knowing that what they did out there was critical in keeping each other alive. This is tough. They didn't deserve the treatment they got coming home. That's all.
Thank you very much. That was Bob Cook, a Vietnam veteran.
Students share stories about their families. That's coming up after a quick break. You're listening to Classroom Frequency, WPR's Wisconsin Life Special featuring students from MG21. You can hear all the students' stories and entire interviews online at wisconsinlife.org. I'm MG21 teacher Ian Lowe.
And I'm Wisconsin Life host Maureen McCullum. Remember guitarist Matt Schlafer from earlier in the show? We'll go out with a song from him.
Radio is awesome.
Radio is great.
Radio for me is inspiring.
Radio is kind of like public speaking, but I don't have to like see the reaction of the crowd or anything, so I like it a little bit better.
Radio is cutting edge.
Radio is how I express myself.
Welcome back to Classroom Frequency, a Wisconsin Life special on WPR. It's an hour of stories from high school students at Monona Grove Liberal Arts Charter School, also known as MG21. I'm Maureen McCullum.
And I'm MG21 teacher Ian Lowe. This hour, we've already explored the interests and passions of MG21 high school students, so now let's talk about family.
When I first showed up in your classroom, Ian, one of the students seemed to be particularly interested in working on this radio project.
Like, I'm always that person that I always keep, like, asking questions. Like, it's uncomfortable for me to be quiet and uncomfortable for me to not have a conversation, so my brain is always running. And I had an iPod since, like, second grade, so I recorded everything.
Junior Sierra Reederer had like 4 story ideas on day one, which is really impressive.
Ultimately, Sierra decided to work on a story about her brother, Thomas.
Yeah, and to learn why Sierra wanted to do a story about her brother, I went over to her house one night, and she was actually teaching Thomas how to play pool.
You want to grab your stick, bub?
Yes.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, shoot.
What other games do you like to play?
We like playing Minecraft.
Mom, my clap!
Do you like watching movies?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to eat?
Gosh, yeah, fried root beer.
Grilled cheese, fries, and what?
Root beer.
I decided to do my brother because I love him. My brother has Down syndrome and how that affects, like, our family and how he's not really different from, like, anyone else, but at the same time, he is. I don't know. My brother's just an interesting person, so I was like, why not do the interesting person in my life?
Sierra then went on to interview her mom and grandma about Thomas. Let's listen to parts of those conversations.
I'm Sierra Reeder, and I'm here sitting with Shirley Drew and my grandma at her house in her kitchen, and we're going to talk about my little brother Thomas and her relationship with him and how his Down syndrome has affected him or not affected him, and just a little bit about him. So to start off, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Great, okay. Do you remember the feelings you had when you were told that Thomas had Down syndrome?
I probably didn't have any real feelings. I just thought, okay, what can we do for him to make his life better?
What are some of the best memories that you've had with Thomas?
When we're in the car, and he puts in the CD, and right now, today, it's Johnny Mathis, a Christmas CD.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
And we sing these songs each time he gets in the car, 365 days out of the year. I love it.
Why do you love Thomas so much?
He's made my life fuller, and he's never angry. Doesn't matter what, generally he does not hold a grudge. For that reason alone, I love him.
What things are hard for Thomas?
Focusing. I think it's hard for me to get him to focus. He has a short attention span. So that's probably the most difficult. Oh, and one other thing, his ability to verbalize. I wish I could do something for him. I just don't know where to go.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm Sierra Reeder, and I'm here with my mom, Michelle Reeder, in our office, and I'm going to interview her about some questions about my little brother, Thomas. Why do you love Thomas so much? Besides from the fact that he's your own kid.
You know, he just brings another spin on life. You know, when you're not having those good days, then he kind of can turn it around sometimes.
What are you most proud of him for?
Wow. There's a lot of things. Maybe his stick-with-it attitude. You know, he will put up kind of a fight about things sometimes, but he stays with it, you know?
Yeah. I guess I haven't really noticed that, but yeah, I get that for, like, Special Olympics and, like, cheer and stuff. What challenges come with having a child with Down syndrome? Sorry, I didn't mean to make you cry.
Not knowing what the future holds for him. You know, making sure everything is in place, you know, when he gets to be to the point of independence. He's treated just like you or your brother for the most part. But our goal is to make him, you know, as independent as he can be. So when the day comes that we're not here anymore, he can still navigate the world.
I told him if he ever wants to come live with me, he has me.
So one of the questions you asked your mom and your grandma was when you're the most proud of Thomas. So when are you the most proud of your brother?
Oh, no. That's a lot. That's a hard question to answer. I mean, he does a lot of things and it's like, holy camoli. Like, I would never do it. Like, he does show choir and he's the loudest one. He's in front. Sometimes he doesn't even go with the routine and he's just like front and center. And I'm like, how? But he's just, like, he puts himself out there. And I think that's what I'm most proud of. And he doesn't give up. Like, we go to the Y and we practice basketball and whatever, and he puts in the work. And he's a strong kiddo.
You like to teach him, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
I teach him a lot of... I teach him good things and bad things.
As any good big sister would.
But yeah. Like, he can make any bad moment good. So, he's great.
You're listening to Wisconsin Life's Classroom Frequency on WPR. Today, the stories that MG21 high school students wanted to tell. I'm MG21 teacher Ian Lowe.
And I'm Maureen McCollum. Separations are hard on families. They can impact children in a number of ways and can take years to process.
In our next piece, we hear once again from MG21 sophomore Coyote Johnson. She explores her own family situation with a poem.
I used to wear shoes without holes. Every year, Dad would supply each of us with two pairs of shoes, one for gym and one for looking nice. Ever since he joined money stashes with her, their money became her money, and I had to wear my old shoes that didn't fit anymore. I'd wear them until my toes would poke out the front. I used to wear shoes without holes, back when my dad took care of us. Now he follows orders, hoards his cash, and spoils Peanut, her daughter. She has seven pairs of shoes. One for hiking, to help her walk for miles to adventure. One for fashion, to look nice with an outfit. One for gym, to keep her running. One for the beach, to keep her feet from burning on the hot sand. One for swimming, to keep her feet away from any sharp rocks in the water. One for rain, to keep her feet dry. And one for occasions, for when it's appropriate. But I'll still sit here with my soaking wet socks, drenched from the holes in my shoes. I used to wear shoes without holes. My feet would stay nice and dry. I'd splash in the puddles without a fear, because I trusted my shoes without holes.
That was MG21 sophomore and poet Coyote Johnson.
Our next story comes to us from a student experiencing a political awakening.
Hello, my name is Jasmine Valencia, and I am a senior at MG21 Liberal Arts Charter School.
Jazz wrote a letter to Senator Tammy Baldwin about immigration for one of her classes. We'll hear the letter, and after that, she'll tell us why she wrote that letter.
Dear Senator Baldwin, the government should allow immigrants a path to citizenship. Immigration has been around for a very long time because we are all immigrants, but the immigration system is broken and we are in need of an overhaul. The 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. As an immigrant myself, I believe that the government should allow immigrants who are here illegally to become U.S. citizens as long as they are willing to work, to make money for their family and themselves. They obey the law, they respect our constitution and our culture and pay taxes as well. Most immigrants come to the United States for a better opportunity for them and for their family because their country is in poverty, too many dangerous gangs, not enough jobs, no money for food and water, or they are just searching for a better way of living. Lastly, I would like to abolish the word term alien, because we are mankind and we are all humans. Why not form one world? Immigrants are regular people searching for a better way of living just like all of us. We should not be called aliens because we are not from outer space. I despise that term when it is used to describe immigrants. Thank you for your time and listening to my letter. Yours truly, Jasmine Valencia.
Okay, Jazz, can you tell me why you decided that you wanted to write this letter to Senator Baldwin?
It was required for my Road Ahead class, which is a class for seniors. And at first, I wasn't, like, too excited about writing because I don't like writing. But when I got into it, into the story, like, writing it more, I got more excited about it. And it was like a weight lifted off my shoulder.
Jazz, you immigrated to the U.S. from Honduras and were eventually adopted. Can you tell me a little more about that?
I got adopted when I was 9. I got a phone call from my birth mom in New York, and she was asking my adoptive parents if they wanted to adopt me, and they were like, immediately they said yes, and I just felt wanted, and it was awesome. But like, at that time, I was kind of sad because I wasn't like a normal kid, and like, I felt different because I was getting adopted and, like, they weren't, like, my biological parents.
So is your birth mom from Honduras or your adopted parents?
Yes, my birth mom is from Honduras.
Okay.
And so, she had me when she was 18.
Okay.
So she couldn't take care of me, so she came to the United States to try to make money to send it to Honduras.
Okay. How long did you live in Honduras?
I lived in Honduras for maybe like 6 years.
Okay. So what would you say to people who feel like the U.S. needs tougher immigration laws?
I would say that immigrants are just regular people looking for a better opportunity, just like you and I. But we live in the United States, so we're one of the lucky people. And they're trying to come to the United States so that they get that opportunity. And at the end of the day, we're all immigrants.
This was like the first time you had written something like that?
Yes.
So you said after you finished writing this letter, you felt excited.
Yes, I felt very excited.
Are you going to do something like this again?
Definitely, because when I first started writing my piece, I wasn't like excited about it because like I wanted to like come up with something like legit, something that was like powerful.
Do you think more people your age need to start speaking up about issues, anything going on within a political system?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And why do you think it's important?
I think it's important because we are the people that it's going to affect as we get older. So that's why we need to speak up. So when stuff happens, like, we weren't like, damn, I wish I did something about it. Like, why don't we just speak about it now and just do it, you know?
Yeah. Beyond writing letters, are there other things you've been thinking about, ways to get involved?
I would like to volunteer with, like, immigration and, like, helping people, like, find houses, food, like, that type of stuff.
That's great.
Yeah.
¿Hablas español?
Claro que sí.
Qué bueno.
Thank you, Jasmine, for contacting me about this important issue. Immigration is part of our American story, and immigrants are a part of America's future cultural and economic prosperity. When I first joined the United States Senate in 2013, Republicans and Democrats came together to pass comprehensive legislation to reform our immigration laws, strengthen border security, and provide a pathway to citizenship for many undocumented immigrants. While that bill unfortunately did not become law, I continue to believe there is bipartisan support in the Senate to fix our broken immigration system. I also believe it is essential that those seeking refuge or asylum in our country are treated fairly and humanely. I believe welcoming people fleeing violence and oppression strengthens America's connection with freedom, the foundation of who we are as a people. Please know that I will keep working to ensure that our immigration system grows our economy, strengthens our borders, treats immigrants fairly, and keeps Wisconsin families together.
That was Senator Tammy Baldwin responding to a letter written by MG21 senior Jazz Valencia about immigration. This is Wisconsin Life's Classroom Frequency on WPR. Today, the stories that MG21 high school students wanted to tell. I'm MG21 teacher Ian Lowe.
And I'm Wisconsin Life host Maureen McCollum. Ian, when I first dove into this project, one of the ideas was to spread the love of radio. And I also really wanted to include more young voices on Wisconsin Life. And I've walked away from this project with such a deep admiration for these students. I've seen them evolve and become more confident over the year. I'm curious, from your perspective, what has this project meant to you?
I feel like this project encapsulates so much of what I love about teaching, and particularly teaching at a project-based school like ours. I love seeing the ways in which students can use their creative expression to make their mark in the world and to make a difference. And so in the past, that might have meant building a little free library outside of our school or writing a play that will show up in the Young Playwrights Festival. And this project has allowed students to tell their stories and to have their stories shared on the radio. And that has just been incredible to see. And I love the courage that I see from students. And so it's been an amazing project.
So, Ian, what's the best part about being a teacher?
So I feel like teaching satisfies some of my core values, which are curiosity, compassion, and most importantly, service. And so every day I get to tap into those things. And I really love being a part of the process in helping students make meaning of our world and then start to see them use what they learn to make a difference.
I want to extend a huge thanks to everyone who helped with this project along the way. Brady Carlson, Brittany Williams, John K. Wilson, Jenny Peake, Michelle Good, Doug Gordon, and Jason Butler, thank you for being so graceful with your time on Field Trip Days. Steve Gotcher, Brad Kohlberg, Carl Christensen, Adam Friedrich, and Tom Blaine, thank you for the stellar audio production and editing assistance. Peter Bryant for being captain of this ship and always doling out the greatest advice. Ian Lowe, thank you so much for welcoming me into your classroom this year.
It was a pleasure.
And thanks to all the MG21 staff, Rebecca Fox Blair, Jess Frain, Alyssa Hartson, Jean Delcourt, Stacey Levin, Paul Marks, and Julie Theato. And of course, the students at MG21. Thank you so much for opening up to all of us and believing in yourselves. You are all such talented, inspiring, good people. It's been a true honor to work with you.
And thank you for listening to Classroom Frequency, WPR's Wisconsin Life special featuring students from MG21. There are even more student stories online. Just go to wisconsinlife.org to hear them all. I'm MG21 teacher Ian Lowe.
And I'm Wisconsin Life host Maureen McCollum. We'll leave you with a song by MG21 student Coyote Johnson. Thank you so much for listening.
Choking on words. Don't deserve, you say.